give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 38. We're always on fire. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is episode 38 of the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. Recorded on November 20th, 2015, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. This is Ray Moraldi, also known as RayRay. Yeah, I've had a bit of a hiatus. We're supposed to have an episode last week, but the guest didn't show up, so I decided to cancel that week. Also, I had a birthday, so happy birthday to me. I turned 21 for the 17th time. Anyway, if you've never heard this podcast and have never heard of me, I'm an NBA online writer, so this podcast will have a lot of NBA talk. I also talk about other things like other sports, video games, TV shows, terrible pop culture references, basically the fundamentals of life. I talk to friends who are mostly sports personalities about all these sort of things. And I'm going to get right to it. 3 weeks ago, I had Harrison Fagan from Silver Screen and Roll in Lakers Outsiders, and we talked about the Lakers. But we also talked about cereal, and he had told me that there was somebody who ate cereal with water instead of milk. That's disgusting. I'll play the clip, and we're going to have a little callback of Harrison about this.
See, I've heard, like, story. I think there was that one women's soccer player that went viral because she was eating her cereal with water, and she was advocating for that. That's disgusting.
That's gross.
There's something. I'm sorry. There's something wrong with you. You can't eat cereal with water. That's...
I've never tried it. Why would you eat?
That's exactly it. What would possess you to try that? Just go buy some milk. Milk is that expensive.
Fundamental callback.
So Harrison Fagan is back from Silver Screen and Roll and Lakers Outsiders. And the reason why I'm talking to you again is because when I had you on the last show, you were talking about cereal and a particular women's soccer player ate cereal and water, right?
Yes. We couldn't remember who the name was, but we were both shocked that that was something that was going on.
But I know who it is now. So, yeah.
Who was it?
It's Kelly O'Hara. Here's the thing. Kelly O'Hara from the National Women's Soccer Team. She's the one, because everyone is crushing on either Hope Solo, Alex Morgan, Sydney LaRue, whatever. They're all beautiful women.
Yeah,
I was crushing on Kelly O'Hara. So now I'm just kind of like, but she eats cereal with water, and that's disgusting. What do I do with this?
Oh, man, you may need to find a new crush in that case. I don't know. Cereal and water, that might be a deal breaker.
It really is. Like, seriously, like, who eats cereal with their water? Like, I don't understand this. Like, it tastes disgusting. By itself is fine. With milk is obviously delicious. Yeah.
It's like it's two good things that you absolutely should not mix.
Exactly. Like, I don't get it. Like, I suppose it's for health reasons, but you can also just eat fruit for health reasons or something.
Yeah, or
you
just
know?
Eat dry cereal. Like,
I don't understand. Like, what does she eat? What cereal does she eat with water? Like, does she eat Cocoa Puffs with water or something? That's disgusting.
Yeah, cereal. Oh, man. I don't even... Yeah, I don't... That's gross.
Yeah, that is gross. So, why don't you make a suggestion? Like, who do you think is pretty on the women's soccer team? Because I don't think I can crush on Kelly O'Hara anymore. This is disgusting.
Not disgusting, I don't know that I can answer this. All right, Harrison, don't get fired. Probably...
I put you on the spot, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, for me personally, I definitely had a crush on Alex Morgan.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I think everybody does.
Everybody does. She's adorable. She's athletic. She's I saw her on Conan O'Brien, like, playing that Dance Central game. She was very competitive in. Do you even have no idea what I'm talking about, huh?
No, I don't. But I did see her in that commercial with Kobe Bryant where she was trash-talking him while playing FIFA that kind of sold me. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, so there it goes. But yeah, and she's a local girl. She's from Diamond Bar. So.
Oh yeah, thing. Well then you can't argue with that.
Yeah, of course she's married now. So I mean.
Yeah. Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops. There you go. So I guess I'm going to find a new soccer crush now or something. I don't even watch soccer very much, but like I was turned on to it like during the Olympics and. Everybody was looking for, everybody was, you know, crushing on Hope Solo, Alex Morgan, Sydney LaRue. So I'm like, okay, well, I gotta be different. I gotta find someone who's, you know, a girl who is not getting enough attention. So I'm like, oh, Kelly Harris, pretty. Okay, cool. Awesome. So that was basically it.
I started watching actually more women's soccer during the international play than men's. It was after that study came out a couple of years ago that there was less flopping in women's soccer. Because that's the thing that turns me off to when I watch the guys play, is they're constantly just laying out on the ground. It's the same thing with the NBA. I just don't really like it.
Well, that's another subject for another. That's another subject for another day. Because I love I think flopping's hilarious. That's just me.
You will have to bring me back, and we will have to have a heated argument about that.
I'm not even heated about it. I just find it hilarious. I understand why they'll get penalized for it. I totally do. But I think it's funny that they're you know, basically flopping themselves all over the floor. Okay. I think it's funny.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Like, when it doesn't affect the actual outcome of the game, and you're just watching, like, a vine completely out of context or something, I can agree. Or you're watching the instant replay, and you just see a guy barely get touched, and he throws his head all the way back, and his arms are up, and there's a sniper in the building, like, then it is pretty funny, especially in slow motion.
Yeah, it's great. Like, if I was an NBA player, I would totally flop. Like, I would totally do, like, I would do a back roll and, like, roll 10 feet backwards, basically.
Oh, if I was an totally NBA player, I'd definitely do it, because for me, personally, that would be my only way to score. My only hope would be to convince the ref that I had gotten fouled and deserved to go to the free throw line.
I would even do, like, some sort of, like, backflip, just to exaggerate everything, because come on now. You know?
Yeah, just do cartwheels, whatever. Like, just... Show them, like, you really got hit. There was a lot of momentum behind that.
Yes, exactly. So, the lesson of the day, after talking to Harrison, is, like, don't date someone who likes cereal and water at the same time.
I mean, I personally wouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Harrison.
All right, thanks.
Hey, everyone, I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
Thank you, Harrison Fagan, for... doing that little callback. So, our guests are Greg Esposito and Ben York from Suns.com. And, I'm actually gonna go ahead and plug, iTunes here. So, yeah, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you can also find it on Stitcher and RareRay.net, as well as the Happy Hour Network. You can follow me on Twitter at the NoLookPass, and you can follow the podcast Twitter at RareRayIsFun. The reason why I'm doing this now is because I can't possibly end the podcast the way Ben did. As you'll hear later on. So, without further ado, here are Greg and Ben. Scratch! Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 38. This is Ray Ray. Always joining me, the greatest storyteller in the world, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
Hey, how you doing, Ray Ray? I'm looking forward to Tropical Storm Bella, which is funny on many levels. and so that is bearing down here on my hometown. So it's very dark where Tropical Storm Bella is coming from, or not Tropical Storm, Winter Storm. So really now looking forward to that. So tell me you got some good news for me, Ray Ray.
It's very, very sunny here in Southern California.
Great. Fantastic.
So you lose. Our guests. So first off, he is the guy behind the Sun's social media. Greg Esposito, what's up?
Winter Storm Bella sounds like a teacup poodle dog name. It doesn't sound like anything I'm overly threatened with.
Yeah, like the official names that the breeders give them? Yes, that's exactly what it sounds like.
Granted, Ray Ray also sounds like it could be one of those dog names, too, so we won't go there. We'll leave it alone. So.
Our other guest. Barking. I had him a long time ago in my other podcast, but... He's cool because he likes studying the Turtles and NSYNC, and he also writes for Suns.com and for the Phoenix Mercury as well. Ben York, what's up?
What's up, guys? I don't know, when I heard Winter Storm Bella, the first thing that went through my mind was Twilight, so I'm not sure that's any better.
I've officially taken away microphone privileges from Ben, and he won't be appearing the rest of this episode.
Twilight is an automatic out.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it's like Adam brought up WWE, so I thought the Bella Twins.
Right, right.
Oh, jeez, that would have been much better for me to go with.
That's not a cold front, though. That's a warm front there, gentlemen. So. Yes, I went there.
Either way, I'm gyrating my hips rhythmically alongside a twin of mine.
Or, you know, for what?
Because that's what they do. Like when they first come out, that's what they do. They do the thing with their butts.
That is true. I can vouch for that. A little twirl, a little twirl.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah, a little butt twirl thing. That's all I'm getting at here.
Let's step away from the butt twirls really quick. Let's talk about. Yeah, so Greg, Sun's social media. That's got to be a tough job, right?
Yeah, it'd be a lot easier if it was the only thing I did around here. But yeah, it's a unique job. You got to be careful. You can get yourself in some trouble, as we saw with our friends at the Houston Rockets last year, and we saw with our friends at the Clippers this year. So it's fun though. It's the fun kind of dangerous. You can. You can have a lot of fun, do some creative things, and kind of make fun of some trolls while you're at it too. So it's not too bad.
Right. Adam and I were actually talking about the NBA social media accounts a few months ago, and you're one of the good ones. I know the ones in Philly were good, but some are kind of questionable, right, Adam? Like, I don't know, the Lakers.
Well, here's the thing. Like I mentioned earlier, I can never forgive the Lakers. A Twitter account for not taking full advantage of the Kelly Clarkson duo, right?
Hey, when you're the Lakers though, and you've got that many followers, you can do nothing and you still gain followers. Here, we got to be gimmicky. You got to keep the entertainment coming. You know,
that's true.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing about the Lakers though that kind of bugs us is that it's just way too standard. Basically, like everyone else is just like. They have personalities like you, like the guys from the Sixers, and you know, the Golden State Warriors. They're really great at it. So why the heck aren't the Lakers doing anything about this? They're just like so backwards.
Well,
I guess.
I think it honestly has to do with when you're that big of a brand, you know that your social following is going to grow. You know that you're going to get retweets no matter what. So I think you don't have to try to be as creative and kind of. Push those bounds at times. They do some okay stuff, but I think that's really the mindset. You don't have to take the chances that some of the rest of us do when you have such a built-in brand and such a large brand worldwide. You're pretty set. You know you're going to hit those metrics regardless. You know, here we're 5-year playoff drought, and, you know, and you gotta try some things. You gotta be entertaining. You gotta build a personality. And, you know, myself, Ben's done some work on it. Some of the other guys here on the staff, we take great pride in the fact that we've been able to kind of create that personality. And you're right. Julie in, Golden State does a fantastic job. Max
For
and
sure.
Alejandro, who used to do the Sixers before they both left recently, they did a great job. I was big fans of those accounts, and those are the kind of groups that push us to continue to try to be creative, find new ways to entertain people. Because for us, it is about entertainment and just trying to be creative. We're an extension of you know what we do on TV, what we do marketing wise, but we have to be creative in our own personality to try to connect with people. Although I'm starting to get worried, I'm a little too old to be doing this because I don't get things like On Fleek and stuff like that. That's like, we're starting to get a whole like demographic that I don't understand at all. I'm a 30-year-old, you know, and I'm starting to fall out of that cool demo. Not that I was ever really cool, but my 90s references are hitting with a lot of people, but there's a whole group that's coming up going, I have no clue what Saved by the Bell is. Who is this Urkel guy you keep talking about?
Oh, no. They're like, where are all
the Ninja Turtles
references?
I know aren't the Ninja Turtles they know. You know, there's some weird stuff that is starting to go on. So,
yeah, I'm the same way because I'm 37 years old and I'm making all these like 90s pop song references and whatever, and like not a lot of people get them at all. And I'll just be happy if like two people respond to it. It's like, oh, I get it. SWV, yay! You know?
I'm in the same boat. We make some jokes, and it's like three guys that I know are in their mid-30s are like, that's really funny. Like, I made a joke. Okay, we were playing the Clippers about a week ago. And you remember Clippy, the clip
paper
clip that would pop up on the screen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I made a meme using him and made a joke about it on Twitter, and like four people were like, that was hilarious, and then the rest of the internet was like, I don't know what that thing is. I don't get the joke here. So, you know. But that's what happens when a lot of 15-year-olds, it's starting to become like the mall, you know? There's a lot of 15-year-olds hanging out, and then there's 30-year-olds doing the actual shopping. Like, that's kind of the internet right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm starting to feel like my parents now. It's like, you know, this was cool back in the day. We're just, like, laughing at them. Now they're the ones laughing at us because they don't get what the hell we're talking about, right?
Well, try making an old-school NBA Jam reference, and then you'll really feel old when people are like, what is this? Why is it blurry? What's this pixelation stuff? NBA what now? I don't know. Was that the old Ahmad Rashad show? I don't – there's another joke only a handful of us get, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone else is
the Kristen Ledlow Grant Hill show. That's what you're talking about.
Ben.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you've been silent for the entire time, man. Is Greg hogging the mic?
You know what? Just taken away.
When I had my I'm basically out of this podcast. I think anytime social comes up, I get nervous because there's one time where I'm very, very paranoid about what I tweet. Ever since I was hired by the Suns and the Mercury, my tweeting has been significantly less.
I saw that actually.
There was one time where I was in line at Chipotle and I think I tweeted like, oh my God, this line is so freaking long or something like that. And it went from the Mercury account and.
Oh no!
And then I saw it right away, and I'm like deleted, and assumed I would be getting fired shortly. I mean, thank God I didn't say anything else, but I'm very, very paranoid about what I tweet these days.
Mm-hmm. So, any tweets that you thought of tweeting, but then decided not to do it because it might get you in trouble?
Oh, every single day. I mean, I don't even know.
Tell us all of them.
All of
them. Yes.
Say them out loud right
just
now.
Just between the four of us.
right.
there's been a few that we were going to send to other teams, and we've had to back off. I'm trying to think of an example. Greg, I don't know if you have an example, but I'm trying to, you know, firing back at teams that rivalries and things like that, and then as we're about to hit send, you know, little our conscience is like, is this really worth maybe trending for a little bit, or will this get us fired and then, you know, subsequently divorced by our wives? I know Greg has some stories here.
My wife doesn't want to divorce me because I didn't read the tweets, but one of the things the other night, I always am very. You always kind of want to fire back at some of the Twitter trolls, and you usually kind of pull back because you don't want to get your brand in some kind of flame war with some guy that's just, you know, sitting in his mom's basement with his 35 followers trying to bait you into something. But the other night we went with one, and this guy tweeted at us, "Hey, Suns, why haven't you made the Super Bowl yet?" Right? I'm sitting there. It's in the middle of a game. We're on national television. I'm going, what the? So I just quote tweeted it, said, "Hey, @NFL, you guys want to handle this?" And didn't expect, like, I didn't think anybody was going to reply to it. Definitely not the NFL. NFL's Twitter account replied back, "Nah, it's all yours." Like, and it turned into this thing. So, like, but my initial thought was, I probably shouldn't call this guy out because I'm going to completely embarrass him. And I had some meaner things that I was going to tweet and deleted.
Right.
So your initial instincts usually to go much harder at things than you actually probably should. So there's been a handful of things for sure that a handful of things a day for sure that I delete before we actually tweet. But we kind of know where the line is. We're getting better with it. I think we do a pretty good job of at least interjecting some humor and kind of towing that line from time to time.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to be careful when you're talking to just regular schmoes. Like, I know a few people who, you know, run the social media accounts of different baseball programs, franchises. But I feel like if you're talking to other teams, as long as, like, you know the person that you're interacting with, that I think you should have a little bit of a freer rein here. Like, Ethan Strauss, tweeted earlier this week. I just pulled it up. "I want team social media accounts to insult each other in ways that are disgusting and maybe not even safe."
I would love to do that. And usually even if you've talked to the other social media person, like, I know most of the social people around the league and we'll talk, and some of these things are we've gone, okay, we're going to go back and forth a little bit. We don't exactly tell each other what we're going to say, but we're like, hey, we're going to go there. We're going to go back and forth. But like, you don't know how another team, I think it was Mike Conley wanted the guy in, with the Clippers to actually get fired because of the, at least we didn't lose, by 50. Yeah. Thing. So like, Even if you and the other social media person and a few people in the organization are cool with it, you don't know. It's actually apparently reaching players now where it's got an effect. So it's this weird thing. Like in a perfect world, we'd go back and forth and we understand, hey, it's all lighthearted, it's fun, but like you don't know how it's going to spiral out of control, beyond your influence, your realm with these other people. Like we went back and forth with the Bulls on Wednesday night and had some fun. We didn't really fully insult each other, but we had some fun, but there's a weird line with it even. But, and then some teams just don't want to do it. Like you won't get interaction with other teams. So you kind of know the teams that you can interact with, you can have fun with, and you go from there.
We'll be right back with more Greg Esposito and Ben York from Suns.com after this break.
This is Sheila McKiley, and you're listening to Ray Ray is Fundamental.
Oh, I messed up. Uh-oh. I got what? About to move on, you know. There ain't no time to wait. Cause you're too fine to see. But then again, you know it's gonna be me. And tonight, so just tell me why. Never say enough for you. You don't wanna lose it again. But I'm not like this, baby. When you finally get to love someone, guess what? It's gonna be mine. It's gonna be me. Ooh yeah.
I know, I remember, like, I think it was, like, a couple years ago when... Was that you going back and forth with the Portland Trailblazers account?
Yep, that was me.
Yeah, like, I think Portland was talking about, like, being in the East or something like that, and then you guys are just going back and forth.
Yeah, they
so
said... They tweeted out, this was when... I think it was, like, February 2 years ago where the Eastern Conference standings were pretty abysmal and... They said,
like every year.
Well, this is true. But they said, what would it take to be in the, or switch to the Eastern Conference? We're asking for a friend. So we replied, hey, we thought we told you not to let anybody know about what we asked you. And we went back and forth. Well, it turned into a big thing. It wound up on SportsCenter. It wound up on a bunch of blogs, and it turned into this, oh, two Western Conference teams are trashing the Eastern Conference, saying how bad it is. Like our team president, president of basketball operations, actually got asked about it in a radio interview about whether he thought we should. Oh, the radio host was, standing on a soapbox saying, "Oh, a team shouldn't be doing it. Should you?" You know. So that was one of those moments. I was like, well, this could be it for me. I better pack the desk. Our president of basketball operations is getting asked about a tweet that we sent, a harmless tweet we sent with the Portland Trailblazers. He said, hey, those guys know what they're doing and we trust them. So that was at least a vote of confidence, but I happened to just be listening to the radio when that question got asked, and I literally, that's it. If this goes sideways in this answer, it's been fun.
I also remember, like, the Hawks tweeting out, like, a day later or whatever. I think they beat the Clippers. And, like, hey, tell this to one of your Western Conference friends or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
But see,
so.
The thing fun. Is...
it's fun.
The thing is, I have a pretty good relationship with the people in Portland. I got a pretty good relationship with Jared in Atlanta. So that those... We knew each other. So we knew none of us were insulting each other. Like we knew that we were having fun with each other, but from the outside people take it and spin it in whatever story is going to get page views, which Ben and I understand. We started in blogging, so we kind of know that's the way it goes, but it makes it kind of a minefield at times to run social.
Mm-hmm. Let me talk to Ben now because I feel bad that he hasn't really talked
much
in the past.
No, you don't have to worry about that at all.
Anyway, we're going to talk to you anyway. But Ben, I've known you forever. Like, you're one of the first bloggers that I've known since I walked into this business, basically. So I think you're – yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I feel old. Goodness.
I know. That was like, what, 2008, I think?
Yeah, that was like 2007. Yeah, something like – yeah, about – oh, my gosh. That's almost 10 years ago. Yeah, about 2007.
Man, I've known you forever.
Jeez.
And I barely talked to you in real life. Like, I think it's like our second time talking to each other.
I think so.
Yeah, because we did the podcast like way back in the day with my guys at the NOLA Pass, and then this is our first time talking to each other since then. So, but you've had a pretty good career, haven't you? It's like you went from like Ben's son's blog, right? Is that what?
Yeah,
it was
that as creative as that name was. Yeah, that's where I started. I look back, Greg and I were actually talking about this the other day, and about, you know, we miss kind of doing some of those, the bloggy stuff. Just weird. I remember, because we were kind of like brainstorming some ideas to do for the website, and just to kind of try to be creative. And there's one where I think at the time it was the M. Night Shyamalan movie with Mark Wahlberg in it, and it's the name of it is escaping me. I forgot what it, The Happening. And there's a scene in there where everybody starts to like just go crazy and like jump off buildings. And there's a scene in there where this guy, just walks in front of, Greg's laughing. Walks in front of this mowing lawnmower.
Yes.
And gets completely run over. And so I used to, when the Suns would lose or have a rough game and I would let my kind of like fandom out, I would call it the lawnmower post, and I would just do a talk about the game and how after this loss it made me want to just jump in front of a lawnmower. And it, for whatever reason, it was like not only was the name of the blog horrible, Ben's son's blog, but this stupid lawnmower post, and it seemed to, people seemed to like the randomness of it. And I'm thinking about that now, and I'm mm-hmm. and I was just like, what the hell was I thinking? Because I don't I wish that I could come up with quote unquote something creative like that and have it get away or get away with it on Suns.com.
The crazy thing is Ben's being modest. That's how that's how Ben and I got to know each other, and how Ben got a job here was because of those posts. Like when I saw those things, I and his Christmas tree with a signed Jake Sokolita shoe, I think it was. it was these two things that I went, this is the kind of guy that I want to work with on a daily basis. So he's being modest. Ben's son's blog actually started all this for him.
So, like, okay, how long ago did you start Ben's son's blog? No, I'm asking for a reason.
Yeah, it's just, it's funny to look, just to say that again. I don't think I've said Ben's son's blog in about 6 years, but...
Neither have I.
I think it was like 2007, where I just started it randomly on a Blogspot, I think, site, and just, you know, literally it's like there was nobody there to read it. So, and I didn't, it's almost like Creed Thoughts on The Office, like www.creedthoughts.net/creedthoughts.doc or whatever it is. I thought it would be going to the internet and people would somehow find it. And, you know, I didn't, you know, luckily, after a while, then social media started to kind of kick back up. And so that's kind of when it started to just kind of, I guess, get the word out that I had random horrible posts, available to read.
Are you sure it wasn't you doing the Carlton early on that got you noticed?
Oh my God, I did that. Oh my God, I did do that. This is embarrassing. I literally have not talked about this at all for several years, but
I don't even remember how it came about. I just remember you doing it like after a random game or something. It's like, if this happens, I'm going to do the Carlton. And then you put out the video.
Yeah, I guess it was after it was a bet or something like that with, like, if this, I think I said I bet that the Suns win. If I don't, I'll record my. It sounds so stupid that I'll record myself doing the Carlton, and then I think Tass Mellis of the Basketball Jones, now
the Stars.
Yeah, this huge personality tweeted it or did something, and and it just kind of took off. And yeah, it was just very random. I guess it was, yeah, like Greg said, next to my Jake Sokolidis shoe and a Christmas tree. I mean, this is the for people that are listening, it sounds like I'm the weirdest person ever.
All this has made me do is miss the old NBA blogosphere, because like when that was the time I started blogging too, and like I missed that because it was just weird. You got Toss and Skeet sitting in a in a condo in Toronto just doing video podcasts every day.
Right.
It was such a different. We really sound like the old guy saying get off our lawn, but it was such a different time, and to see all these people who started that way, having pretty successful careers, in particular the guys with the starters, it's pretty fun to see the evolution of how this has all gone.
Yeah, it really was. Like, everyone now is either on the True Hoop Network or SB Nation or Fansided, basically.
Yeah.
And I've had multiple jobs over the years as well, and it's been crazy, right? Like, we just started this as a whim, like, 7-8 years ago.
It is crazy to see, to look back and see where, like, Zach Harper and Matt Moore and all those guys, mm-hmm. Those were the preeminent, I guess, back then. It was like, wow, those guys seem to have quite a bit of a following. And, yeah, now at CBS, I think, still. So it's crazy to see where it's all gone.
Yeah, exactly. And it's crazy. Like, back then, we're just like, oh, let's do Carlton dances. Oh, let's talk about the Ninja Turtles and whatever. And now it's like, here we are. We're all on .coms, and we're all on, getting paid just to do this kind of stuff. So,
which is weird. Which is a weird thing. Like, it's a really cool thing, but it's a really weird thing.
Right.
Honestly, though, I think it kills a little of the creativity when it's not just us sitting around going, hey, we need an outlet. Now it's tied to your mortgage and everything. It changes it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Although I'm going to make Ben do the Carlton for your sons.com now that we've talked about it. So.
I would love to see that again, because he actually did a really good job.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. I worked on it for a long time.
I was going to say, I bet you practiced.
Oh, I absolutely practiced. My wife is a saint, because I explaining this. Hey, honey, I'm going to do the Carlton dance for a blog about the Suns just randomly. Can you record this? Oh, sure. So she, I definitely got the lucky end of the deal in that one.
So at least people, at least these kids today will still get what the Carlton is, because it's been like all around the place. So thank goodness, because, we sound like old farts right now talking about the good old days, basically. but people will still get the Carlton.
That's true.
Yeah. So, let's talk about the Suns.
We're not just talking about us. We got to talk about the Suns. I thought this was just reminiscing about us.
Well, we could do that for like hours if you want. I mean, I don't care.
Well, I think I'm one of those guys that doesn't like talking about himself. I think Greg is too. So I'm good with talking about the Suns.
All right. So the Suns.
They're fun.
They're fun. They got Tyson Chandler over the off season. I personally think they're doing better than what I expected them to do. What do you guys think? Or are you guys going to get in trouble for saying what you think about the Suns?
I'm paid to expect great things, so they're right on pace with what I was hoping for professionally. I you're right. They've surprised. They've kind of exceeded some early expectations, and especially when you look and they're in the top 10 in the NBA in offensive and defensive efficiency, plus they're one of the younger teams in the league. Real GM had a pretty cool, and I never imagined I'd ever say this, but a really cool Venn diagram to show that earlier this week. And, I think they've exceeded a lot of expectations and have shown that they can play an exciting brand of basketball, but actually bring a defense and toughness that hasn't been around in Phoenix for a while.
Brandon Knight and Eric Bledsoe over Goran Dragic and Eric Bledsoe?
Oh boy, that's a great question. I think just based on the numbers, I think that they seem to play just really well with each other. And I think they really get along. I think when they're both on the floor together, it just forces I guess Brandon Knight is kind of more of a natural scorer and a two guard. So I think when Bledsoe's driving the lane and kicking out and You know, you have Brandon Knight out there who has been here all summer, just working on the shot and his 3-point shot. You see him before practice, after practice, doing that. It's cool to see their chemistry kind of translate to the floor, because last season, Brandon Knight was hurt after the trade, so we didn't really get to see, we saw for a few games, didn't really get a chance to see what they could do. And I think, knock on wood, both of them are healthy, and they're kind of the engine that make the Suns go.
Well, and it comes down to age too. Both of these guys are younger. I mean, Brandon Knight's 24, Eric's 25. You've got a group that can grow. They haven't even hit their potential. Where, mm-hmm. With Goran, I loved Goran, but he was kind of peaking. He had hit that potential. He was older. He was pushing 30. This is a backcourt you can truly grow with for years to come and try to reach that ceiling together. They're both going to peak at about the same time. So that's optimal when you're trying to really grow a younger team.
Yeah, no, they're a lot of fun to watch, especially because, this is the best that they've played yet. I mean, yeah, granted, small sample size, but I mean, their scoring is way up, their efficiency is up, and like you guys said, their ability to mesh, even though they really haven't had a whole lot of time together, No, they play like they've been playing together for years. Even though I don't think that they actually overlapped at Kentucky, I could be wrong. Well, but yeah, I mean, yeah, but they're only 2 years apart. But no, they and when you've got offensive engines like that, like you guys said, are young, don't have a whole lot of miles on their tires, and then you have the luxury of saying, okay, Tyson Chandler, go do Tyson Chandler things, and we're not going to lean on you for, 15 points a game, then it makes it a lot easier to coach. And I especially get a little hop in my step that Jeff Hornacek is still down there, because he is a former walk-on from Iowa State, and anytime anybody comes out of the state of Iowa and does great things in professional athletics, that's a very unusual thing to happen. He and Hoiberg are both now coaching in the NBA, and I'm like, yeah. So,
well, it sounds tired the whole Greg. I mean, we've been, around practice and just seen the team, and you've seen them, on the bench, get up. And there was a play that Greg, had posted on social the other night against Chicago. And it was about, there was a made layup, and I think Ronnie Price got a steal. And then it was just kind of this back and forth thing. And Tyson was just going crazy on the bench, just cheering everyone on. And I mean, it sounds like a cliche, but I think it really has helped, Hornacek, just in terms of Hornacek can kind of implement some of more of the systems, and he has a veteran leader, and it's been a night and day kind of impact, at least that we've seen on the Suns. And I think that is really going to go a long way, especially when every team's going to go through hot streaks, every team's going to go through cold streaks. But I think Tyson is he's not going to let there will never be a game where the Suns don't have a really good collective effort as a team. Maybe they don't win every single game, obviously, but I think Tyson's not going to let that happen. And I think the players respect Tyson enough that they want to play hard, not just for him and Jeff, but it's kind of like it permeates, I guess, throughout the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you tell him no.
Right, right.
When Chandler asks you to do something, you're like, well, you are 7'2 and 260. All right.
So the Suns were kind of the it team a couple of years ago when they won 48 games out of nowhere, and then they kind of had they didn't do as well last year, and there was a tumultuous thing with Goran Dragic and the Morris twins and all that stuff. Is Jeff Hornacek was Jeff Hornacek's job in jeopardy before coming into the season? Like, was he put? Did he have like a lot of pressure coming in to win?
No, when you look at what he did in that first year, I think it spoke for itself. And I think last year was kind of a market correction, if you will, in terms of they exceeded everybody's expectation. And I think some people here would even admit they exceeded their own expectations going into that year. So I think everybody knows what Jeff's capable of doing. Now, Does he have to succeed this year? Yeah, when you're going into a season like this, you have to have some success, and they've shown early success, but I don't think there's a hot seat right now. I don't think there's anything like that. And I think it was understood last year, a lot of different circumstances played into things, and what people forget is they finished with 39 wins. They finished the year 1-10. They only won one game in their final 11. So they weren't that far off the previous year's pace until the last 11 games, and that was when Brandon Knight hurt his ankle and missed a bunch of time. So I don't think that was ever really the case. There's an understanding here of how last year went and how good it was the previous year.
Where do you guys expect the Suns to finish this year? Can you answer that?
Yeah, I can absolutely answer that. I really do genuinely think that they – I don't know where, if I'm honest, because Dallas is up to a much better start than I think a lot of
people thought.
So, you know, if they kind of come along, I really think the Suns are good enough in the West to be a playoff team. And I think I really do, you know, kind of to the earlier point, I think that Tyson's impact on that is it's hard to describe. I think it goes beyond defense, which the Suns' interior defense this year has been fantastic. But I really do think that I think the Suns will be in the playoffs. So, you know, where that is, if they kind of get hot and they kind of click like they've been doing these past few games prior to Chicago, you know, maybe they go as high as a 5 or 6 seed. You never really know. But I really think that they at least sneak in at the very least as a 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I think probably that 45 to 48 win mark is realistic. If they click the way Ben was talking about, you could probably push it into that 50 range, but they're going to be better than they finished last year. This team's very much like they were 2 years ago, and just the feel, how much these guys like playing together, the atmosphere. I think the West is probably a little bit more bunched up than we thought it was going to be. That there's a few teams that like Dallas that we thought were going to fall back. Even Portland, I know they've struggled as of late, but they're better than I think anybody anticipated. And then you've got teams like the Pelicans who haven't played well, haven't gotten off to such a great start with their injuries, but at some point they're going to come back into the mix. You have to imagine. So I think this back end of the West is going to be much closer than anybody anticipated. I mean, the Suns are sitting, as we record this, they're 6-5, they're the fifth seed in the West. And I realize we're 2 weeks into the season, but I think we're going to see, you know, 40, 44, 45 wins probably get that final couple of playoff spots in the back end of that West, because it's going to be tougher than I think anybody expected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what strikes me about the West is that it feels like this is the first year in a couple years where, I mean, yeah, the top of the West is still loaded, and not just the top one team or even the top two teams, but like Oklahoma City looks like it's underachieving, and it's still 7-5 and winning the division. But like Memphis is regressing, Houston is regressing and badly, Dallas, you don't really think that they're going to keep winning 2/3 of their games. So it seems like it won't take the Herculean effort to get to an 8 seed in the West this year that it would have, you know, in a couple of the years recently. So that certainly bodes well for Phoenix, you know, because there were years when you're like, oh, only 48-34. Well, better luck next year. You know, and that's not going to happen this year. But like you said, at the same time, the easy wins, I mean, Minnesota's not on that level anymore. You know, Portland, are they really going to be that bad all year? New Orleans, are they really going to be that bad all year? It's like the Lakers might be in a one-team basement in the West, and that is nuts.
Except for maybe the once every 5 games that Kobe plays, if you can find a shot, then you're probably in a, you know, maybe they're slightly more competitive too. So even you don't know what you're going to get from them night in, night out, based on who's going to play.
Right. So I mean, it's going to be it's the breakdown is I feel like there's a larger fight for the for those last like three spots. I feel like there's about 10 teams that are going to have a legit shot at the last three spots in the West. So if you can get yourself to four or five, and be like on that tier that's right below the division winners, you're set, right? That's mm-hmm. that's where you want to be. And Phoenix absolutely can do that, for sure.
Yeah, and as we record this, Phoenix, Clippers, Jazz, and Nuggets are 5-8 right now. Memphis is out, Houston is out.
Yeah, just so. How we all pictured it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
right.
We'll be back with more Greg Esposito and Ben York after this break.
This is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual to see me cry. I wanna die. It's not unusual to go out.
So are the Warriors ever going to lose? They're 13-0.
I mean, they look really good. I mean,
yes, November 27th. You can guess what guess what team they're playing then.
So you got the Warriors losing that day, right?
Yeah, I think Greg and I both work that day, so that would be coincidentally, yeah, that would be our day would be significantly better whomever they're playing that day would take the win.
Yeah,
just a gut feeling, strange, odd feeling, but that's what we're gonna go with.
It's pretty specific too.
Yeah, but they're off to a scorching start. They're two wins away from tying the record, and they could break the record by beating a specific team that, you know, that I kind of like.
I mean, they really are good. I think you know, they've been at this for a little while, and they've kept the generally the same core intact. So I really think you know, they're a heck of a franchise to say, hey, in a few years, you know, if the Suns kind of get that right combination of players, you know, I don't know that, you know, the undefeated start to the season, it may be a little bit much to ask for, but I mean, there's certainly. I remember a few years ago with the Klay Thompson and Steph Curry backcourt, and it was like, wow, these guys could be really good. And I think we're kind of at that point where people are starting to say, wow, Eric Bledsoe and Brandon Knight could be pretty good. You know, I mean, obviously, if they end up remotely as, you know, effective or successful as the Warriors have, that would be great. But I think what the Warriors have done is proven. It's a Jeff likes to play a very similar style as the Warriors play. So I mean, for us Suns guys, I think it's, you know, we certainly respect what they do and hope mm-hmm. that the backcourt that the Suns have can kind of get to that level and that youth. And I think that you know, like as Greg said earlier, we got guys in their early 20s that are arguably one of the top, you know, two or three backcourts in the league. So that's certainly a good sign.
Can we just say it? Steph Curry isn't human, and I want to know. I want to know what planet he came from, so we can go get a lot more of those guys, because it's unbelievable. I talked with Eddie Johnson, one of our broadcasters, former NBA guy who played here in Phoenix, and he point blank said he's the best shooter he has ever seen. And this is Eddie Johnson, who would usually say he's the best shooter he's ever seen. He's saying Steph Curry is. That speaks volumes. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, Steph Curry's shot selection is horrible. Normally. Right?
For anyone not named Steph Curry.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he puts up threes anywhere, whether it's a catch and shoot, a pull up, or he's just dribbling in front of three guys and he shoots it and he makes it. Like, what the heck? You usually get benched for those kinds of shots, but he makes them. It's inhuman.
It's completely inhuman. It defies logic. Some of the shots he's hitting when he throws a 30-foot off balance shot and it goes nothing but net. It's like it makes no sense. But that's what he's Steve Nash in terms of kind of the passing and some of the things he can do with the shooting ability of somebody we've never seen before, and the conscience of a Kobe Bryant who just throw it up from anywhere. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I thought Dan Marley was crazy like 20 years ago when he was putting up 30 footers, right?
Yeah, but Steph takes it to a whole nother level. But Dan was a guy that he'd have some of those shots. You'd go, okay, there's no way he's gonna make this. Oh, you know the old coach going, no, yes, that's good. You know where. There's no reason you should shoot it, and then it goes in. But Steph goes at a completely, completely different level.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And the discouraging thing about this is that, like, I've been shown clips of, like, these kids. Like, they're trying to play like Stephen Curry, and of course they can't make a shot to save their lives because, you know, come on. These are bad shots everywhere else. But to Curry, I don't think there's such thing as a bad shot for him.
I mean, if I were a coach, I would say literally wherever you get the ball, just shoot it because that seems like it's a great plan.
Mm-hmm. But only if you can cross a guy out of his Jordans first.
Right, right. Like, that's step one, right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it kind of works in video games, right? Like NBA Jam and NBA Live and stuff like
that's
that.
That's true, and which we had, Greg and I have this whole debate, not to get completely off topic, but I firmly believe... Yeah. That the greatest NBA video game, Greg shaking his head, NBA video game ever made is NBA Live 95. And
yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's NBA Jam. Because it's not.
Well, do you not remember NBA Live 95?
Well, I remember. I've actually played it recently. It's still NBA Jam.
Well, they're two kind of different things, right? Because NBA Jam is more of an arcade fantasy sort of thing, while NBA Live is simulation, so that's kind of two different things.
I agree, but if we're talking, if the simple premise is greatest NBA video game of all time, it's NBA Jam. I remember it was one of the first games that I remember actually waiting in line for when I was a kid and staying up late to play, and it's just, it was a game that transcended, and you got to take into consideration, it was on console and arcade. Which was a huge thing. You'd drop, mm-hmm. I remember dropping probably 40, 50 bucks in quarters.
In
NBA Jam that I have had for the better part of 8 years, and it comes up at least two or three times in a 6 month span.
Well, it kind of transcends video games, right? Cause like, people say he's on fire, like, a lot, like, everywhere. Even, you know, even amongst gamers, they say he's on fire. Like, they know the NBA Jam catchphrases and stuff like that. Right?
Yeah, no, I agree. Look, I mean, NBA Jam is fun, but NBA Live 95 changed how basketball video games were played. I don't know. I mean, I'm clearly biased in this one, but I think it's the best to date. Even the 2K series, like I'll fire up the Live 95 now. I'd almost rather play that than some of the 2K games.
Did you write a Live 95 article on Suns.com?
I probably did. Oh, I did. Yes, I did. It was talking about why it was the best, and everyone. It was this weird thing where everyone agreed with me, and nobody said.
This is a dirty, dirty lie. Not everybody agreed with you, and I wrote the counter about NBA Jam. Let's not forget. Mm-hmm.
Well, semantics, I think, you know, but yeah, I think we did. Yeah, we went kind of back and forth, and it was just an overwhelming response to the Live 95.
I don't know. I prefer Bill Laimbeer's Combat Basketball. What about that?
No!
What?
That was what? Like, it was literally a game that was all about shoving.
I still
Super Nintendo game about shoving and basketball crudely thrown in there. It was so slow.
It's the worst game ever.
It was a cheap ripoff of the old Arch Rivals too, where you could punch guys. Let's just.
Uh-huh. I love Arch Rivals, by the way.
You could throw the oil on the court. That was that's one where you're even pushing it well past the bounds of real basketball when you could do those kind of things.
Okay, so any other basketball video games out there outside of NBA Jam, NBA Live 95 that you guys enjoyed?
Oh, NBA Showtime 94 for Super Nintendo. And there's only one reason why I love this game, because it's the only game that had the 92-93 Suns roster, and it included Barkley, and the Bulls included Jordan. So you could actually replay the 93 finals, which I still contest to this day, didn't end the way it should have.
Fair.
Yeah, Ben.
Man, there was maybe as a Suns employee, I shouldn't be saying this, but for Nintendo 64, I think was it Kobe Bryant something?
NBA courtside.
There we go. That was a pretty good game. That was a pretty good game. I remember I was like, wow, this is actually, you know, back then I was like, these graphics are amazing. They will never stop. And I think that was they were topped. It was weird, like the next year.
So yeah. If I could say maybe the nerdiest thing I've ever said on this podcast, Ray, but you bring up NBA Showdown. And so I don't know if you guys way back in the day ever subscribed to Electronic Gaming Monthly. EGM.
I want to write for them. That was like my career goal.
Right. And so you remember that, you know, they would get, like, people would write letters into them. Like, they would write letters in envelopes and mail them to them. And so in that.
Is this leading to a stamps.com ad? What's going on here?
No. It just seems remarkable to me that I remember when people would write letters to magazines. But anyway, not only would they write the letters, but they would illustrate on the letters. And
they would do fan art, yeah.
Yeah. The fan art. And some people, like, wrote some, like, really, like, intricate, or, like, drew some, like, really intricate stuff. And so I was, like, 13 at the time, and so I got this really great idea where, like, it would be, I guess we would call it now a mashup, but it would be NBA Showdown, but it would be misspelled like it was in Samurai Showdown. You guys remember that game?
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah. So it would just be NBA Showdown, but with only one W in it, and, like, it would be NBA players holding, like, swords and stuff. And it was a really great idea, and it turns out I can't draw worth a damn. And I also had nothing that I had to, like, I had nothing good to tell EGM either. So, like, there was no letter for me to write, and I didn't know how to draw the thing. But in my head, it was a really good idea.
Now I wish I thought of this when I was, like, 15, 16 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
NBA Showdown. Okay. Nerd. What about Double Dribble, guys? Like, Adam and I talked about this a few months ago. Double Dribble is awesome.
Solid game.
Yeah,
it's no NBA Jam.
But what about the upgrades though? NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
That was better.
I stick with the original. Mm-hmm. I'm a simple man. You don't have to throw, you know, hot spots on the floor or additional roster. Players. I'm an original. I like the original NBA Jam.
Well, you can turn the hotspots off.
Yeah.
Just having the option.
And you can turn on juice mode, right? Make it faster and everything.
Yeah.
The original NBA Jam, you could play as Bill and Hillary Clinton if you had the right coach. Like, you don't get that kind of stuff from video games anymore. I want secret characters like that had. That was always one of my favorite things.
Yeah. So it's funny because, like, I'm sorry, but younger guys, when I talked about NBA Jam, and these younger guys were talking to me about NBA Jam, right? And I'm like, yeah, Bill Clinton is playable. And they couldn't believe that Bill Clinton was playable on NBA Jam. It's like, what? That can't be true. I'm like, here's a picture.
I love that. And you could play as the Suns gorilla, but you could also play as the guys who coded the game. Like, how much of a baller are you if you go, you know what, I'm going to make myself a secret character in this game. Like, that's pretty amazing that they did that. And then one of my favorite stories about NBA Jam is these guys grew up as Pistons fans, right? So they coded it.
Yeah.
They coded it where if it was a close game between the Bulls and Pistons, the default was the Pistons would win. The Bulls couldn't win in a close game against the Pistons. I love that there's those little things in there.
Yeah.
It's like how in NHL 94, Jeff Courtnall knew the guys who were coding the game. So they made Jeff Courtnall just unbelievably good in it. Like a totally forgettable forward for the Canucks, I believe. And they're like, okay,
that's my dream. That's my dream to just happen to know somebody making one, and all of a sudden you're just a secret character in it. Nobody else would ever figure it out or care, but you could put yourself in there. It's kind of like what we get now when you can do the facial recognition stuff. I mean, all that stuff kind of spurned from those special character stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So.
So okay, this is my recollection, and it's been a year or two. But my recollection was that in the original NBA Jam, you could unlock those characters, but if Bill Clinton replaced Muggsy Bogues or Patrick Ewing, then Bill Clinton would play like, you know, Muggsy Bogues or Patrick Ewing. But in Tournament Edition, when you unlock the characters, they had their own like special skill sets, like they would have their own like their own different ratings. Am I remembering that right, or am I?
You are remembering that correctly, and
okay.
Now you're making a valid argument for why special characters were cooler in Tournament Edition. So I'm going to choose to ignore it right now.
Oh man! So Double Dribble. I'm thinking like all the other cool NBA video games right now. NBA Shootout was that's all right, I guess, for PlayStation.
Bulls versus Lakers. That wasn't too bad.
Bulls versus Lakers was really good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
ahead of its time.
Yeah, that falls in line with, like, the entire live series, though, right? Like, yeah. Bulls versus Lakers, Bulls versus Blazers, NBA Showdown.
Yeah,
right?
And then, what was it? Bird versus Jordan, I think, was a...
Yeah, Jordan versus Bird.
Jordan versus Bird was one of the earlier ones.
Yeah.
I remember playing on the Commodore 64, Dr. J versus Bird. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a great game.
It was a one-on-one. And the two players were not discernibly different, but one of them was Dr. J and one of them was Larry Bird.
Yeah, I remember I think it was Jordan versus Bird. There was a dunk contest thing, which always just seemed rude to me. Like Larry Bird was never going to win in a dunk contest. Like, why would you even put him in that situation? And then you had to do it with a keyboard where it was like you had to hit up, down, and like three letters to do these different dunks. It was next to impossible.
Well, but dunking is next to impossible, so I feel like that's fair.
That's a fair point. Yeah, what was it? Yeah, Jordan Bird I had for Game Boy, and it was the best, most frustrating game ever, because you could never, like, I would always want to do a certain dunk, and it would, you know, Jordan ended up doing some layup, and I would want to do some, I think it was like the Statue of Liberty, and he would end up doing a layup, and I'd be like, this is the worst thing ever. Needless to say, I think I actually did throw a Game Boy down the stairs after that.
Oh, man.
Those things were so big, though, you could actually, it's not like throwing a cell phone down the stairs. That thing was the size of a brick, so a Game Boy could last that, though.
That's true.
Yeah. I still
kill
have
the
that
laughter somewhere. With that gun.
I still have that somewhere, the Game Boy brick. So
yeah, it was the precursor to the Nokia brick.
Did you guys ever play, I'm still thinking it's a video game here. Have you guys ever played the Super Nintendo game called Rap Jam? Like it had rappers playing basketball? Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
It had like Coolio, Queen Latifah, Warren G. Yo-Yo.
I'm gonna look for this immediately once I leave.
And it was a volume one. It was actually a volume one. They never came out with a volume two, but they're thinking of making it to a series, apparently.
There's still hope. Let's start that petition online.
Yeah, look it up. Rap Jam Volume 1. I even reviewed it on the No Look Pass like years ago, too. It was terrible.
Star Wars took over 30 years between episodes 6 and 7, so...
So never. There's hope for Rap Jam Volume 2, right? Like Lil Wayne, I guess, and I don't know the rappers today.
Yeah, neither do I. I'm like trying to think of one.
Drake. Yeah. No, I would absolutely not play as Drake in a video game.
Did Drake wind up on every NBA team, whoever's at the top of the standings? Is that the way that would work? Or
mm-hmm. I guess mm-hmm. so, yeah. And I think there was some sort of story mode in Rap Jam, I guess. It's like you earn enough money to make a music video or something.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
We're looking at screenshots right now, and I would absolutely play as Warren G.
I'm going House of Pain. The lead singer of House of Pain was in this. Like, this is amazing. You guys have just made my weekend.
Are you looking it up right now, Adam?
Of course I am.
Of course you are.
Onyx versus one. Queen Latifah. Yep, I'm in.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know who would be the best rapper baller ever or whatever.
Well,
what about like we need? What is there like a like boy band jam where it's just NSYNC or Backstreet Boys playing each other?
God.
Because I think Ray, we could debate.
We
for
could
a
definitely,
while.
Yeah, exactly, yeah,
guys. We can't put this part of it online. You guys need to make that happen and collect your billions of dollars. but if we put this online, someone's going to steal it.
You're right.
That's true. Should I just bleep it all out? No, I'm kidding.
just like a 15-minute bleep, like right here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's the thing, though. Like, if we do like boy band jam, like everyone's gonna pick Justin Timberlake, right? Like, no one else really matters.
Ooh, yeah. I mean, that's a tough one. Although I've heard Justin Bieber has got some game. So. I'm going to go and punch myself in the face, and I'll let Greg finish this podcast.
Oh, man.
Every member of 98 Degrees is weeping openly because you said they don't matter anymore.
So is Old Town, actually.
Nick Lachey likes basketball. So
yeah.
Like, I feel like, he's not busy. Two, he'd be really enthusiastic about this.
I feel like you have to have Carson Daly do the play-by-play, though.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's a necessity in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just quit the day jobs and make this happen.
Exactly. Boy Band Jam Volume 1, right?
No,
volume
let's 1. Let's just start with Volume 2 to really confuse people. They'll just be on this constant search for Volume 1.
That's true too. It's like
just spread some rumors that it exists, but it's
it
rare.
Exists. Like, yeah, it's like New Kids on the Block was in Volume 1, guys.
And everybody just went who? The whole internet went who? Huh?
Exactly. And we've come full circle.
Exactly.
Hey, this is Keith Boss Claus. You see, you're chilling with us on Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
Ben, before I let you get away, who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Oh my god, I always went for Donatello. I would love to be able to give you a rational reason why I went for Donatello, but, I feel like that would be, his bow would be the thing that, at least that I would be able to do, because there's no way that I would be able to do anything with nunchucks or a sword or a sai, so I feel like a bow, it's just swinging a stick gracefully. So I feel like I kind of identified with that. But anyway, Donatello is my favorite.
Mine too, but only because like my brother wouldn't let me be Leonardo.
Well, that's a much better reason than mine.
That's basically it. And the reason why, Adam, the reason why I talked to Ben about Ninja Turtles is because like I think I don't know how he revealed it or whatever, or how I knew about this, but like we somehow talked about like the Ninja Turtles concerts from way back in the day.
Oh, yes, those existed.
Yes, the Out of the Shell tour.
Out of the Shell tour, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't even know how that came about, like, when Ben and I were talking about this. It was just, like, Ben was like, oh, I like these. I like the Out of the Shell tour concerts or whatever.
I think this is probably too much information for everyone, but I think one night where I think I had a few too many drinks, and I was like, oh, man, I wonder if they have that turtle concert on YouTube, and I found it on YouTube, and I posted it on Facebook, and I literally had all of those songs that they had, they were in my head for the next few weeks. Like, so it was, and obviously after this is over, I'm gonna go directly to YouTube to look those songs up again. But, yeah, and then I remember, I think Ray, you commented on it or something like that. I don't know if it was Facebook or Twitter, and I was like, nobody had liked it because they were like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And then you were like, oh man, this is awesome. I remember listening to this. I was like, thank you.
Somebody of note was one of those Ninja Turtles on the tour. And I might be confusing stories in my head here, but it might have been the guy who did Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat.
Wow.
Somebody from that Ninja Turtles tour like gave an interview about it and had some like really weird stories about all of that and how it went down. So now as soon as we hang up, yeah, I have to go find it too.
Absolutely.
So I guess we're gonna end this podcast here and we're just gonna all go watch Ninja Turtles Out of the Chill concert tours.
That's right.
Yeah, so tell us, Greg and Ben, tell us where we can all find you on social media outside of the Suns official account.
Find me at Espo, real simple, or at the Espo on Instagram. So that's the two places you can find me for a bunch of 90s references and bad humor. Just like the podcast here, so.
Yes, Ben.
And, yeah, you can find me as creative as Ben Sunsblog, ben.york on Instagram, and BJ York on Twitter, not to be confused with Bjork, which I assume 90% of my followers think they're following.
Oh, and shout out to the Twitter user Purple and Orange, because, like, they basically wanted us to get together to do 90s references on the podcast, and I think we accomplished that, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than any of us thought.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I wasn't sure how I was going to go about it, and then suddenly we just fell into, like, NBA Jam, NBA Live 95, and then we stopped at Ninja Turtles Out of the Shell concert tours. So, yeah. And, Adam, everybody knows where we can find you on Twitter, but say it anyway.
Let's say it anyway. Yeah. Adam _ Jacoby, Jacob with an I at the end. And as always, the underscore is critically important.
Very important. Yes.
I'd like to end at least our portion with a quote from said Ninja Turtle tour. And I quote, "There's no need to be bugging when it's a Ninja Turtle you're hugging." So I will never be on another podcast, and this is a great way to go out.
I think it's the way every podcast should end.
That's it. We're done. Out.
That's got to be your sign off from now on, Ray.
That's
Ray.
It. We're done. We're done. That's it.
We're done. Game over. Yeah.
Moded.